Ever wondered what happens when the ordinary world suddenly collides with the supernatural? Dean Koontz's Dragon Tears explores this terrifying possibility through a masterful blend of police procedural and supernatural horror. Published in 1993, this novel quickly became one of Koontz's most celebrated works, spending 12 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. Stephen King himself called it a masterpiece of suspense, while director Guillermo del Toro cited it as an influence for his supernatural horror films. The book's exploration of time manipulation and supernatural abilities has influenced countless works across literature, television, and film. Beyond its commercial success, Dragon Tears stands as a profound meditation on order versus chaos, fate versus free will, and the thin veneer separating our mundane reality from the extraordinary. Harry Lyon lives by the clock. His mornings follow a precise routine: English muffins with lemon marmalade, Jamaican coffee with cinnamon, arriving at work at exactly 8:21 a.m. As president of his condo association, he ensures the landscaping remains immaculate, a small kingdom of order in a chaotic world. This meticulousness extends to his professional life at the multi-agency Law Enforcement Special Projects Center in Laguna Niguel, California. Harry's worldview is simple: evil should be punished, order should prevail, and life should follow predictable patterns, much like the fairy tales he loved as a child. But Tuesday shatters Harry's carefully constructed reality. During lunch, he's forced to shoot someone, an event that sends his ordered world spiraling into chaos. This shooting is merely the first domino to fall in a series of increasingly bizarre and terrifying events. Harry's partner, Connie Gulliver, provides a stark contrast to his rigid personality. Where Harry seeks order, Connie embraces life's unpredictability. She's intuitive, adaptable, and comfortable with ambiguity, qualities Harry has always distrusted but will soon desperately need. The partnership between Harry and Connie represents more than just professional collaboration. It's the tension between opposing worldviews. Harry's need for structure versus Connie's comfort with chaos becomes the philosophical backbone of the narrative. Their differences initially create friction, but ultimately complement each other as they face supernatural horrors that defy Harry's logical understanding of the world. What makes Harry such a compelling protagonist is watching his carefully constructed worldview crumble when confronted with events that defy rational explanation. His journey isn't just about surviving a supernatural threat. It's about learning to adapt when reality itself no longer follows the rules he's built his life around. Brian Drachman stands on his balcony in a red silk robe that billows like a spreading pool of blood, reveling in his supernatural abilities. He isn't just a villain, he's a monster becoming a god. Brian possesses the ability to manipulate time, freezing it, accelerating it, bending it to his will, along with clairvoyance and the power to manifest physical horrors from his imagination. What makes him truly terrifying is his methodical approach to evil, tracking his 5 marked victims as blood sport. The psychological portrait Koontz paints of Brian is deeply disturbing. His bedroom contains shelves of preserved eyes floating in jars, trophies from his victims that he believes watch him with adoration. In a particularly unsettling ritual, Brian removes a pair of blue eyes from one jar and rolls them across his naked body, convinced the dead woman to whom they belonged can now see his becoming glory. He imagines the fluid evaporating on his skin as tears of joy, while the other preserved eyes watch enviously. Brian's god complex is fueled by profound narcissism and a persecution complex. He laments his unfair circumstances, having to become without the support Jesus had: no disciples, no carpenter father, and no loving mother like Mary. Instead of a holy virgin, he has only a hag of a mother who turns from him in loathing. This twisted parallel to Christian mythology reveals Brian's delusional self-image as a dark messiah. His powers come with limitations and costs. Using them depletes him physically and emotionally, leading to tantrums where he pounds his own body in frustration and feels compelled to gouge out his eyes. These moments of vulnerability make him more terrifying rather than sympathetic. We witness the unstable psychology behind his godlike powers. Brian's ultimate goal transcends mere murder. He sees himself as savior of a world infested with an abundance of humanity, dreaming of apocalyptic destruction. His powers aren't just weapons, they're tools for cleansing what he perceives as a corrupt world. This grandiose vision, coupled with his ability to manipulate reality itself, creates a villain whose threat extends beyond individual victims to the fabric of existence. You'll be dead by dawn. These five words, delivered by a seemingly ordinary vagrant who calls himself TikTok, become the terrifying countdown that drives the novel's relentless pace. TikTok isn't just a man, he's something else entirely. A being who can appear and disappear at will, survive multiple gunshot wounds, and manipulate reality in ways that defy comprehension. The first encounter with TikTok occurs during what should be a routine disturbance call. Harry and Connie confront a disheveled vagrant causing problems at a fast food restaurant. But something about this man immediately unsettles Harry. His eyes seem too intelligent, too calculating for a street person. When TikTok delivers his chilling prophecy and vanishes, Harry initially dismisses it as the ramblings of a mentally ill person. But subsequent encounters prove far more disturbing. At James Ordegard's house, TikTok appears behind them without warning, slamming Harry into a wall and pinning Connie against another. Harry shoots him multiple times at point-blank range, but instead of blood, only clumps of moist earth scatter across the bedroom. The bullets that should have killed him reveal only soil, worms, and decaying vegetation. This discovery leads Harry to an unsettling theory. Perhaps TikTok is a golem, an animated being created from inanimate matter, similar to Jewish folklore. Outside Ordegard's house, they find a large mound of raw earth containing rotting leaves, grass, stones, worms, and even parakeet bones, as if something had emerged from this pile of organic matter. What makes TikTok truly terrifying is his unpredictability. He appears without warning, sometimes as the vagrant, sometimes in other forms. His abilities seem to transcend physical laws. He can be shot, yet reform himself from earth and organic matter. He knows things about Harry and Connie that no stranger could know. And most disturbingly, he seems to be toying with them, enjoying their fear as the clock ticks toward dawn. The name TikTok itself becomes a psychological weapon, a constant reminder that time is running out. Every hour that passes brings Harry and Connie closer to the deadline, creating a sense of inevitable doom. The ticking clock becomes both literal and metaphorical, a countdown to possible death and a reminder of how powerless they are against an enemy who seems to control time itself. Among the most innovative aspects of Dragon Tears is Kuntz's decision to include chapters from the perspective of a stray dog. This nameless canine becomes a crucial character, offering readers a completely different sensory experience of the unfolding horror. While humans process the world primarily through sight, the dog navigates by smell, creating a richly textured alternative understanding of events. The dog sections are written in simple, present-tense prose that captures his immediate experience of the world. His thoughts lack human complexity, but possess an emotional directness that's both touching and revealing. He categorizes people and things by their scent signatures: the stinky man, Sammy Shamro, the policeman wolf thing, Brian Drachman, and most importantly, the thing that will kill you, whose smell is colder than ice and darker than night. Moving through dark alleys, the dog follows these scents with single-minded determination. Everyday discoveries fascinate him. A dead bee floating in a puddle, a candy wrapper that briefly provides a sweet taste. These moments of simple joy contrast sharply with the looming supernatural threat, highlighting the innocence that Brian threatens to destroy. The dog's narrative also reveals his longing for connection. He dreams of a loving family, and upon discovering Janet and Danny sleeping in their car, imagines bringing them to the smiling fat man from the restaurant, creating a family where they could all live together happily. This desire for belonging humanizes the animal while emphasizing the fundamental connections that Brian's nihilistic worldview rejects. Most importantly, the dog perceives Brian's true nature in ways humans cannot. While people might be fooled by Brian's human appearance, the dog immediately recognizes him by his distinctive smell, a supernatural wrongness that transcends visual disguise. This ability makes the dog both a potential ally and a target, as Brian realizes this creature can identify him regardless of his form. Through the dog's eyes, readers experience a purer, more instinctual understanding of good and evil. His simple moral compass, distinguishing between those who are kind and those who pose threats, cuts through the human character's philosophical complexities. In a story about supernatural horrors that defy rational explanation, the dog's intuitive understanding becomes a vital counterpoint to Harry's crumbling logical worldview. At first glance, Sammy Shamrow appears to be nothing more than a pitiful alcoholic, a stinky man whose overwhelming odor the dog can track through the streets of Laguna Beach. But beneath his disheveled exterior lies a man with a complex past and a crucial role in the unfolding supernatural drama. Before his decline, Sammy was a successful advertising professional, articulate, well-dressed, and respected. This glimpse of his former self emerges when he knocks on the back door of a restaurant and speaks with Andy, a sympathetic chef who provides coffee and food. Their conversation reveals that Sammy hasn't always been homeless, adding depth to a character who might otherwise be dismissed as a stereotype. What truly distinguishes Sammy, however, is his connection to Brian Drachman. He carries traces of Brian's scent, marking him as one of the 5 victims Brian has selected for his blood sport. This connection makes Sammy both vulnerable and valuable. He has encountered the supernatural threat and survived, at least temporarily. As the narrative progresses, Sammy's role evolves from pathetic drunk to potential ally. His experiences with Brian give him insights that Harry and Connie desperately need, though his alcoholism and mental state make extracting coherent information challenging. The fragments he provides become puzzle pieces in understanding Brian's nature and limitations. Sammy represents a particular kind of courage, not the trained bravery of police officers like Harry and Connie, but the raw determination of someone who has lost everything except the will to survive. His continued existence, despite Brian's attention, suggests either remarkable resilience or a specific purpose in Brian's twisted game. Through Sammy, Kuntz explores themes of redemption and unexpected value. A man society has discarded becomes essential to saving it. His knowledge, born from suffering, provides a different kind of wisdom than Harry's logical deductions or Connie's intuitive leaps. In the face of supernatural evil, conventional hierarchies of worth and respectability collapse, revealing hidden strengths in unlikely places. In the Pacific View care home lies one of the novel's most disturbing and tragic figures, Jennifer Drachman, a blind woman with sewn-shut, empty eye sockets who suffers terrifying nightmares. Her connection to Brian isn't immediately apparent, but her surname and the nature of her injuries provide clues to her significance. Tanya Delaney, a night nurse, watches over Jennifer as she moans and grasps at the bed rail, whispering urgently about someone who will kill us all, and mumbling about fires of blood and being the mother of hell. Though Tanya would normally comfort a distressed patient, she fears waking Jennifer might trigger one of her frightening fits of glossolalic shrieking that turns Tanya's blood to ice. Jennifer's condition is no accident. The sewn-shut, empty eye sockets mirror Brian's obsession with eyes. His collection of preserved eyes in jars, his ritualistic use of them, and his habit of taking his victims' eyes as trophies. This parallel suggests Jennifer was Brian's first victim, perhaps the origin point of his pathology. When the stray dog enters the care facility, he leaps onto Jennifer's bed, detecting Brian's scent strongly around her. The dog recognizes that the bad thing had visited her repeatedly, establishing a pattern of torment that continues despite her institutionalization. Brian's comments about his mother provide the missing piece. He laments having only a hag of a mother who turns from him in loathing, rather than a loving figure like Mary to Jesus. Jennifer Drachman is Brian's mother, and her mutilation was likely his work. Her nightmares aren't random terrors, but prophetic visions of what her son has become and what he plans to do. Jennifer represents both victim and warning. Her suffering foreshadows what awaits others if Brian isn't stopped, while her fragmented warnings contain crucial information about his nature and intentions. Though physically helpless, her spiritual connection to her son, however twisted it has become, makes her a potential key to understanding and perhaps defeating him. The mother-son relationship between Jennifer and Brian inverts natural bonds of love into something monstrous. Instead of nurturing life, Jennifer has brought forth destruction. Her blindness becomes symbolic. She cannot see what her son has become, yet paradoxically, she sees more clearly than anyone the horror he represents. Dragon Tears presents a world where the boundary between ordinary reality and supernatural horror is frighteningly permeable. What begins as a routine day for Harry, complete with English muffins and precisely timed arrivals, rapidly transforms into a nightmare where the laws of physics and nature no longer apply. This transition from mundane to magical forms the philosophical core of the novel. At James Ordegard's house, Harry and Connie confront physical evidence of this permeable boundary. Despite shooting TikTok multiple times at close range, Harry finds no blood, only clumps of moist earth scattered across the bedroom. He discovers an earthworm, decaying ficus leaves with a beetle, and a bullet slug coated with damp soil. Outside, they find a large mound of raw earth that wasn't there before, containing rotting leaves, grass, stones, worms, and even parakeet bones, as if something had emerged from, were returned to, this pile of organic matter. The house itself represents this duality between normal and supernatural. It features soft, curved walls with high-gloss white paint and rounded corners, creating a cruise ship feel. Yet the furnishings are jarringly different, severe Scandinavian modern pieces with sharp edges. The only artwork is a disturbing Goya painting depicting a demonic ghoul devouring a headless body. These contrasts reflect the dual nature of reality in the novel, seemingly normal on the surface, but concealing horrors just beneath. Brian's powers further illustrate this theme. He can observe his victims through clairvoyance, manipulate time, and create physical manifestations of his imagination. At Ricky's house, Harry and Connie discover horrifying evidence of these abilities: a destroyed floor, snakes filling the kitchen, tarantulas, and Ricky's brutally murdered body with eyes missing. A mysterious mud sculpture of a hand further confuses them, as does the fact that neighbors heard nothing despite the violence that occurred. Harry's struggle to understand these events highlights the inadequacy of conventional thinking when confronting the supernatural. Though he attempts inductive reasoning to develop his theory about a sociopath with paranormal powers, he finds it uncomfortably close to intuition, something he distrusts compared to his preference for hard evidence and logical conclusions. The novel suggests that what we consider reality is merely a consensus illusion, a shared agreement about what is possible. Brian's abilities don't violate the true laws of existence, they simply operate according to deeper principles that most humans never encounter or acknowledge. This revelation forces Harry to reconsider his fundamental assumptions about order, control, and the nature of reality itself.
You'll be dead by dawn. This prophecy creates the novel's central tension, a literal deadline that transforms time from an abstract concept into a tangible threat. The countdown structure generates escalating suspense as Harry and Connie race to understand and confront Brian before the promised deadline arrives. Time itself becomes both weapon and battlefield. Brian can manipulate it, freezing moments, accelerating others, creating pockets where normal temporal rules don't apply. This ability gives him a fundamental advantage over his human opponents, who remain bound by linear time. For Harry, whose life has been defined by precise schedules and predictable patterns, this manipulation of time represents the ultimate violation of natural order. The pressure of the deadline forces Harry and Connie to abandon conventional police procedures. They have no time for careful evidence collection, thorough background checks, or obtaining warrants. Instead, they must rely on intuition, make rapid decisions with limited information, and take significant risks. This acceleration pushes Harry beyond his comfort zone, requiring him to trust Connie's more intuitive approach and develop his own capacity for quick adaptation. As dawn approaches, the narrative pace accelerates to mirror the character's increasing desperation. Scenes become shorter, transitions more abrupt, and the writing style more immediate. This structural technique immerses readers in the character's experience of time running out, creating visceral anxiety that builds toward the climax. The deadline also serves a thematic purpose, highlighting humanity's fundamental relationship with mortality. Brian's threat makes explicit what is always true. Time moves inexorably forward, and death awaits at some unknown point. By specifying the moment of potential death, Brian forces Harry and Connie to confront their mortality directly, stripping away the comfortable illusion that death remains safely in the distant future. This confrontation with mortality transforms both protagonists. Harry must abandon his rigid adherence to rules and procedures, recognizing that survival requires flexibility and improvisation. Connie must temper her impulsiveness with strategic thinking, as rash actions could waste their precious remaining time. Together, they must find a balance between urgency and effectiveness, between action and understanding. At its philosophical core, Dragon Tears presents a cosmic struggle between order and chaos. Harry Lyon embodies the principle of order. His life follows precise routines, his thinking relies on logical deduction, and his worldview assumes an underlying structure to reality. Brian Drachman represents chaos. His powers violate natural laws, his actions follow no discernible pattern except destruction, and his goal is to remake reality according to his twisted vision. This conflict manifests physically throughout the novel. At Ortegaard's house, the soft, curved walls represent order, while the sharp-edged furniture suggests chaos. At Ricky's house, the normal suburban setting is invaded by snakes, tarantulas, and inexplicable destruction. Even the weather reflects this tension. The fine California day, full of sunshine and promise that opens the novel, gradually gives way to unseasonal storms and darkness. The epigraph from the Book of Counted Sorrows articulates this theme directly. Living in the modern age, death for virtue is the wage. We all stand upon thin ice. Are we brave or are we mice, here upon such thin, thin ice? Dare we linger? Dare we skate? Dare we laugh or celebrate, knowing we may strain the ice? This metaphor of thin ice captures the precarious balance between order and chaos in modern existence, the fragile structure of civilization that could crack at any moment. Harry's journey involves recognizing the limitations of his ordered worldview. His preference for deductive reasoning proves inadequate when confronting supernatural phenomena that defy logical explanation. He must develop comfort with ambiguity and intuition, qualities he has previously distrusted. This evolution doesn't require abandoning order entirely, but expanding his understanding to incorporate aspects of chaos. Connie represents a middle path between these extremes. She values order enough to become a police officer, but remains comfortable with intuitive leaps and unconventional approaches. Her adaptability makes her better equipped to face Brian's chaos without being consumed by it. Through their partnership, Harry learns from Connie's example, developing a more flexible relationship with order. The final line of the epigraph offers a paradoxical solution to this conflict. When tempest tossed, embrace chaos. This suggests that surviving chaos sometimes requires surrendering the illusion of control, not to be consumed by disorder, but to flow with it temporarily, while maintaining one's core principles. Harry's growth throughout the novel involves learning this difficult balance: how to bend without breaking, adapt without surrendering, and find order within apparent chaos. Despite its terrifying supernatural elements and apocalyptic threats, Dragon Tears ultimately affirms the power of human connection as a counterforce to isolation and evil. Brian Drachman's monstrosity stems partly from his profound disconnection. He sees himself as uniquely separate, a god among insects, unable to form genuine bonds with others. His preserved eyes represent his distorted attempt at connection, forcing others to witness his glory without allowing true reciprocal relationship. In contrast, the novel presents multiple forms of healing connection. Harry and Connie's partnership evolves from professional collaboration to deep trust and potential romance. Their complementary strengths, Harry's methodical thinking and Connie's intuitive leaps, create a whole greater than its parts. When Harry is injured, Connie's care demonstrates that vulnerability can strengthen rather than weaken bonds. The stray dog embodies pure, uncomplicated connection. Despite his harsh life on the streets, he maintains capacity for joy, curiosity, and loyalty. His determination to protect Janet and Danny, humans he barely knows, represents the possibility of bonds that transcend species, language, and circumstance. His dream of creating a family with them and the smiling fat man from the restaurant reveals a fundamental truth that belonging and mutual care are basic needs for all sentient beings. Even minor characters illustrate this theme. Andy, the restaurant chef, shows compassion to Sammy Shamro despite social conventions that would encourage ignoring a homeless alcoholic. Tanya Delaney, the night nurse, watches over Jennifer Drachman with genuine concern, despite her disturbing condition and frightening outbursts. These connections aren't merely comforting, they're tactically advantageous against Brian's supernatural threat. Information shared between Harry and Connie helps them understand what they're facing. The dog's unique perceptual abilities allow him to identify Brian regardless of disguise. Even Sammy's fragmented warnings contain crucial clues that might help defeat their common enemy. The novel suggests that genuine connection requires accepting others' differences rather than demanding conformity. Harry must learn to value Connie's intuitive approach despite his preference for logical deduction. The dog must be accepted on his own terms, with communication based on mutual respect rather than dominance. This inclusive approach to relationship stands in direct opposition to Brian's narcissistic worldview, where others exist only to reflect and magnify his self-perceived greatness. Through these contrasting models of relationship, Dragon Tears offers its most hopeful message, that even in a world where supernatural horrors lurk beneath everyday reality, where time itself can become a weapon, and where evil wears human faces, the connections we form with each other remain our greatest strength and surest salvation.